Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We'll begin this morning with verses in chapter 8, but we'll be jumping throughout the scriptures as we talk about this theme of without wisdom, the people fall. So start with me in chapter 8. That'd be the easiest place to turn to, and then we'll be moving around the globe, if you will, in the book of Proverbs. You know, last week's message still resonates in my ears over and over again, how much and how hard and how long that message was in some ways. And if I heard correctly from many of you, the Lord gave us a lot to consider and a lot to possibly change in our lives as well. You know, when we begin to run everything through the grid of loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, that is the way Christ loved us by laying down his life for us, or as Paul tells us that we are to consider others more significant than ourselves, it ought to change our perspective. It ought to give us the opportunity to think beyond where we are and what we're doing. We ought to begin to recognize how much the society, the world around us and affects what we do. Because we don't do either of those two things well. We don't love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we don't love our neighbor as ourselves as well as the Scriptures direct, as well as the Scriptures expect. We need to be constantly looking into God's Word, and we need to look at it not just as simple information, but we need to see God's Word as part of His work of sanctification in our life. Mary Winslow, a mother and writer of Christian devotions in the 19th century, actually the early 19th century, in many of her different writings, she speaks of what she sees in the church. One of the things she saw, men think lightly of sin. But not only sinners, saints do not view sin in its proper light. Sin is not a light thing in the sight of God. The church of God is asleep. Christians have too light a view of sin. If you read her books are constantly reflecting on the church of her time. But when you read through the three or four books of reflection and devotions that you have, you're sitting here saying, wait a minute, this is today. This is the church today. Because God's peoples have always had interesting issues with sin. We've always had issues with understanding and listening to God. We've always had those issues, no matter what time period. For God's Word's not only to simply remind us of the blessings that we have, it's also to call us out of our slumber, especially when it comes to our sin, because that's what keeps us from loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving one another as ourselves. We're only free, if you will, not to choose what we want to do. We are only free to choose what Christ has told us and what he continues to tell us over and over again, and how that relates to how we love the Lord and how we love one another. That's going to be the premise of this: without wisdom, the people fall, because that wisdom is what directs us away from our sin. God's wisdom is what enables us to mortify that sin. God's wisdom is what enables us to move forward as a people. So pray with me as we consider that before us. Almighty God, this morning as we look at your word, we look and understand that there are multiple reasons that we could point to that people fall in this life. Your Proverbs point out where there's no guidance, where there's pride, where there's no revelation, when we're not keeping your commandments. All these things point us to the fact that we're unable, and so we fall. But your wisdom is what keeps us moving forward to bring you honor and glory. So, Father, we pray that you would bless this time, this reading of your word, as well as this message. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've said over and over and over again, the Proverbs do tell us the difference between the wise and the foolish, they constantly are telling us what God expects of us. And one of those things that he expects from us is that we are to look at ourselves very, very closely on a regular basis. We are to look at our words. We are to look at our work. We are to look at all the things that we do. That's part of what it means to keep our hearts, to look and see how what we're doing is actually revealing the love that we have for him and for one another. So the first thing this morning that we see is that the Proverbs constantly remind us of his wisdom, and that the blessings that come with that wisdom, as long as we heed the wisdom. Let's start reading this morning from Proverbs 8, 32 through 36. And now, O sons, or O children, as the Hebrew actually says, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Chapter 10, verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And then lastly, in this particular section, Proverbs 19, verse 16. Proverbs 19, verse 16. Whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life. He who despises his ways will die. Now, I thought about just reading the first eight chapters to verify this need for us to heed God's wisdom to experience his blessings, but then I thought I would spare you that and just pick these few passages that speak directly to that as well. Solomon is constantly, as we've seen for the last 10, 11 chapters, Solomon is constantly calling out to his children to heed, to listen, to do what his word says. And of course, his word is God's word in this case. And we must remember that his children at this time are adults. So there's never a time where this parent is not pouring in to his children, even if they're not always listening, because that's another reason why he keeps reminding them of the same truths over and over again, because obviously their lives are showing in such a way that they're not always listening to what he has to say. So he continues to remind them, which is what God does to us. He knows his children extremely well, and we have this problem of remembering what he tells us over and over again. So he tells us, he calls us to listen, to keep, and do not neglect his word. Because we're all too prone to seek our own way, to deny our own sin while we're elevating the sins of others, not to listen and not to heed his word. We neglect his word. Now, wait a minute. We all read his word. Well, the neglect that I'm talking about is, how is that word changing you? You know, I spend hours in God's word, and by the end of the evening, I'm sometimes wondering, how did what I did today change me? What did all that word do to me? How did it make me more effective for him? I'm constantly reminded whenever I spend as much time in three or four sections of Scripture of the same truths. And so I'm sitting there saying, okay, did I get it today? And then I go at it again tomorrow, and I get the same truths. Did I get it today? That's what I mean by neglecting his word. If it's not changing us, are we really reading it? Are we really ingesting it? If it's not changing us, if it's not making a difference in our lives, what are we doing? You know, God disciplines his people. Now, there's all kinds of discipline. I think of physical discipline, and I think of Jordan. Used to think of Melissa, but she's not quite as fit as she was before. And so, but she still does her walking and still does that. But I think of Jordan now because I've got this image now since I've seen him wrestle. It's hard for me to get that out of my mind because it's like, how does a person get into those positions? But physical discipline, We do the physical discipline to build muscle mass. We do the physical discipline to lose weight. We do physical discipline as well so that we have clarity of mind. Wait a minute, that's a mental discipline. Well, no, if your body is sound, your mind will be sound as well. But we have mental disciplines that enable us to grow, enable us to be discerning, enable us to understand. We have discipline always before us, always counting, moving us forward in one way or another. Discipline, God's word, it's supposed to change us so that we can experience the blessings that are sitting there for us. God's covenant guarantees blessing to the obedient. God's wisdom communicates, reveals, and implements that guarantee. God's wisdom trains us. We receive the blessings, and we want more and more training. We want more and more reproof, correction, and teaching so that we can be equipped for every good work that God has prepared beforehand for us, that we should walk in them. Solomon gives an interesting illustration here in chapter 8 when he says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors." I don't know how many times through the years I've read that passage, and the illustration that comes to my mind is the illustration of my children. And many of you fathers have experienced this as well. As they're sitting and waiting, ready to pounce, because they hear you coming up, or they see you through the window. They hear you coming up the stairs. So they know it's daddy time. It's playtime. That kind of anticipation is what Solomon is talking about here. We're anticipating the discipline, the work that is fun, that grows us from the only one who knows us best, who loves us best. And so we are to be looking outside the window. We're to be looking out the door. We're to be waiting for that the person to show up so that the blessing can be had. We know it's coming. We know it's coming. That the little kids, they're waiting behind. They know it's coming. And they run up and jump into your arms because they know it's time to have play, time to have fun. That's the picture that I see here. It's a great picture because he's a dad. Even though he's the king, he may not have experienced the kind of freedoms that we had, but you know, there is that sense that he understands his children. Solomon actually makes this pretty simple, though, when he goes on to say in chapter 10, verse 8, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. The wise prove their wisdom by listening, by receiving the word, and living accordingly. But the babbling fool, the one who does not listen, who talks over the truth, will come to ruin, guaranteed." And that's what that babbling means. They talk over the truth so they don't have to hear the truth. And so those things are always before us. We must be obedient. But the obedience doesn't mean that if we're obedient, then we get the blessing. No, we get the blessing so that we can be obedient. We must remember that. These come. We're sons and daughters of the king. Guaranteed blessings because of our position, because of our identity. Guaranteed. We must be obedient in hopes that we will experience those blessings over and over again. When we walk in His ways, we are assured that we are not lost. The Spirit is the believer's internal GPS, if you will, making sure that we know we're assured. Because we've been blood-bought. We've been saved by Christ's shed blood. Hearing His instruction requires then comprehension of what is said, and then being wise, making a plan, not just to not neglect it, but to let it unfold. That's how this works. We're involved. We have to be involved. We have to have that plan. We have to say, okay, Lord, this is what You've revealed to me, and walking in it. This obedience nets a desire to more and more hear God, to seek God, to love God. with all our hearts, I look forward to the day. Will that be true? I won't be here when that happens, but I look forward to that day. This is how the fear of the Lord is expressed in this life, however. When we seek it, when we listen to Him, when we implement what He has to say, we really are seeking to serve Him and pursue godliness, pursue wisdom, and we receive a fuller life because of it. And we know through the work of the Holy Spirit within us that we have the favor of the Lord. But without wisdom, people fall. He who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. As His, if we're not seeking, if we're not keeping, if we're not listening, if we're not doing as He directs, then we are acting the fool. That's why Solomon keeps giving us the contrast over and over again. We only injure ourselves in the long run. Just to put a pin in that point, he goes on when in Proverbs 19:16 to say, whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life. He who despises God's ways will die. And if that's not clear enough for you, Ecclesiastes 12 is even clearer. The end of the matter is this: all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God keeps it pretty simple. For without wisdom, people fall. He knows us children, and He knows He needs to keep it simple. The second thing we see here is in this theme of without wisdom, people fall, is that His wisdom keeps reminding us what happens when we don't listen, or what happens when we are unable to hear. And there's three texts for that as well, starting with Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then, of course, the one that you've been waiting on, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Again, like I asked last week, how is it that Christians can fall into this category of this kind of talking? How is it that we can have so hard of hearts sometimes? Well, he's been telling us from the very beginning. The scriptures tell us how it is that we have so hard of hearts from time to time. It all boils down to not keeping our heart with all vigilance. It all boils down to not trusting in the Lord with all our heart. It all boils down to not keeping the law and not listening to those many counselors in which there are safety. Without wisdom, people fall. Solomon, or God through Solomon, has been defining what it is and how we are to live out that wisdom throughout these chapters. And as we go forward in this book, we're going to see specific verses speaking to specific things over and over again that deal with different aspects of our lives and the needs that we have to stand opposed to foolishness and to stand up for wisdom. We had the precursor of this book, if you will, from chapters 1 through 10, and now we move to those individual sections of that, if you will, looking at those themes. So that we are reminded that without this wisdom, people fall. That wisdom comes from God's word delivered and proclaimed correctly. This wisdom comes from participating in the sacraments. This wisdom comes by being together with God's people, being together with like-minded people, or being of one accord, as Paul says. The means of grace are where we get the wisdom of God over and over and over again. We'll talk about this more next week when we look at the issue of the fear of God a little closer. But remember Mrs. Winslow's reminder of her readers that as a church, we're far too sleepy, for we focus on minor issues all too often at the expense of the major matters of the heart that bring God glory and edify one another. Solomon makes this point here in the readings, where there is no guidance in chapter 11, verse 14, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Now, according to the prophets, minors or majors, the reason there's no guidance are pretty simple. The reason that the people fall is pretty simple. The prophets say, we reject it. We rather listen to our own hearts. We'd rather listen to false prophets, because the false prophets speak words that make us feel good. The prophets have been pointing out our weakness. Another reason why it's important to read the Old Testament, so that when we get into the New Testament and Paul starts pointing them out, or heaven forbid, Jesus points them out, we already have a foundation for the sins that we're committing. They've been committing since the fall. Recognizing that constant need, constant struggle that we have with keeping God's word and keeping our word. Simply refusing to actually act on what we're taught in the Word of God. Simply refusing to be changed by that. Well, that's good. Like I said last week, that's for somebody else. That passage, I just wish so-and-so would hear it. It's important that we recognize our own need and to measure everything with God's grace and His guidance, His wisdom. And remember that He provides us with many counselors in the church. That begins with the leaders that He called, that y'all have voted on and confirmed and taken vows to be in submission to. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, with a couple of simple commands. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Then he commands, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. These are some of the wise counselors that God gives to the church as a gift to keep us all safe. But it's not only because of the rejection. It's not always because of a personal decision to not do God's word. The scriptures also reveal something else that occurs. God himself hardens our hearts. Amos chapter 8 said this, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. The prophets speak of this famine because his people have rejected or would not listen. And then all of a sudden they recognize that they need the Lord. And so they go to the prophet of the day. If you've just finished up Jeremiah, you know how this works. And God told Jeremiah not to give them any word from the Lord. They are not going to have it. Judgment's coming. We never want to be in the shoes where we do not have any access to God's wisdom. And as I was thinking through this, I can't imagine how lonely and how humiliated the prodigal was when the Holy Spirit finally brought him to himself. I mean, think about that a minute. He recognized the depth of his sin, and where did he go first? To the pigs. Because he couldn't handle that. But then the Spirit said, nope, there's someplace else you need to be. The Spirit says you need to go home and be with your family. Go to your father. Your family's not always perfect. Remember the older brother? Families can be messy. But that's where you do best. At home with your father. Our Father is constantly reaching out to us. Proverbs 16:18 tells us, pride goes before the fall, destruction it goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. That's the prodigal all wrapped up in a neat little picture, to be sure. Our pride gets in the way of hearing of our repentance. Our pride gets in the way of receiving forgiveness from others. Pride is defined often as those who believe they don't need anyone or they don't need anything else. They know it all. And what they know is all that matters. Preparing themselves blindly, according to the Scriptures, since they don't see their own sin, for a terrible fall. His law, is in which is his gospel, the people cast off restraint and fall. Where there is no prophetic vision, it says in Proverbs 29:18, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now think about that passage a minute. You know, the people, the intertestamental period, those people that lived between the end of the Old Testament as we know it, Malachi, and the incarnation of Christ, they said that they were living during a time where God was absent. They said that they never heard from God. They said that he was silent at the least. But think about that a minute. Was he? There wasn't a prophet during that time, but what was there? The Word of God was in their midst. It had been written down. The revelation was there. The prophetic vision was there the whole time. God was not absent. God was not silent. His Word was amongst them, but that wasn't enough. They needed a messianic king. They needed a Davidic king to make it all make sense to them. But God said, no, you had me. You had my word. We often lose sight of that sometimes. They rejected his word. They reinterpreted his word. And more and worse, perhaps they replaced it with the traditions of men. If you read the Gospels, you see Jesus constantly attacking the traditions of men. Just because there wasn't any prophets for over 400 years doesn't mean that God wasn't there. And so the people cast off restraint. We see what happened during that time. And even in the midst of that time, we also see God's blessings among the people. So God was not absent. That's where we are as well often. We don't stop and listen and implement God's word, which will require us to be restrained. Restrained by God's word, which is actually a freeing thing. What is it that Jesus said? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you keep my commandments, you love me. All of that is the freeing aspect. You know, we're not free to do what we think is right in our own eyes, but we are free to do what Christ did. Without God, wisdom, the people fall. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, this morning we're grateful for your word that continues to remind us of our need, my need. I thank you, Father, that you remind us of the restraining aspect of your word. Restraining us from ourselves, but freeing us to live in such a way that we love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Thank you, Father, for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.